crawling behind the gate. The gate swings into the stretch, and here they come. They're horsing around.
Welcome to Horsing Around. I'm Michelle Gatchel, and I am here with Kelly Bell, and we are talking about the OHHA annual meeting and award ceremony that happened last week. And joining us to do so is the master of ceremony, Keith Gisser. Hey, Keith.
Hey, Keith.
Hi, guys. How are you?
The Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association had their annual awards. You emceed it along with, I saw Steve Bateson doing some of the award ceremony work. Tell us a couple of the highlights of this ceremony.
The biggest thing this year is that it was so unusual. This is the fourth or fifth year in a row that I've had the honor of doing this banquet and hosting it. You know, usually we're at a Marriott down in Columbus near campus in Columbus. But this year, everything was done virtually because of COVID-19. So we literally filmed or taped our parts beforehand. It was kind of interesting. I always do a comedy monologue to open the show, and it's usually got some current events stuff in it. But we actually filmed almost 3 weeks in advance of the banquet. So I didn't get any of the insurrection at the Capitol or any of that other fun stuff that was going on. and, of course, as far as doing a comedy monologue in front of no audience, not getting any response, anybody who's ever seen my act is pretty used to that. So it's not that big a deal.
So who was the 2020 Horse of the Year? Let's go straight to the chase. We want the big news.
Well, the Horse of the Year was Action Uncle, the trotter trained by Virgil Morgan. Great, great horse. And, of course, this was such a good year for Ohio horses. There were so many, a lot of the divisional winners were obvious, but I had absolutely no idea who was going to win Horse of the Year until I saw that.
Yeah, some of the big ones we want to talk about, Charlie May, Summer Touch, Street Gossip, Marianne, Ocean Rock, and Guinevere Hall.
Yeah, I thought up until the last couple of weeks of the season that Guinevere Hall had a real shot to be in the course of the year, because she was getting votes in the national top 10 poll, as was Action Uncle. And she just raced down to Lexington, didn't race quite as well, perhaps, as we had hoped. But boy, when you've got that many great Ohio horses, and we're seeing that, of course, more and more every single year, it's really quite remarkable.
I got to tell you, Ohio is just really putting out some fabulous talent. And we're going to have some interviews coming up this year with some of the breeding farms and talk about the breeding programs that are creating these champions. Okay, can I segue just a little bit? They also did the Dan Patch Awards. This is more national, and there is a filly that you and I talked about when we were on the air during Jug Week, Party Girl Hill. And you're pretty passionate about this filly. Can you tell us a little bit about her?
Let me make it real, real frank. She was robbed. Tall Dark Stranger is a great colt. Take nothing away from him. But the performance that Party Girl Hill put in on Jughead Day, two world record performances in one day. She raced on every size track. Tall Dark Stranger raced only on the big tracks. And the thing that really amazes me, and here's the thing, you know, you talk about COVID-19 affecting the racing, and of course it affected racing in many, many ways this year. But had there been fans there, I talked to Tom Hill, he told me that had there been fans there, they would have gone against the boys on Thursday in the Jug. Now, that's not to say that she would have beaten the boys in the Jug. However, if she had raced as well on Thursday as she did on Wednesday, and assuming she didn't draw an eight hole or something of that nature, she would have won the Jug this year. I'm convinced of that. And I think that had she won the Jug, she becomes Horse of the Year over Tall Dark Stranger.
I think you're absolutely
right. But because
of
COVID, because there weren't the fans there, Tom, he wants to put on a good show for the fans, but he went with the safer choice, I guess is what you would say. And so as a result, she raced to the Jug. She still finished second or third, I think, in Horse of the Year voting overall. But and she did win, of course, three-year-old pacing filly honors. But I really think she convinced me. I wasn't convinced until I saw her at the Jug. And, of course, I was one of the very few people, Kelly, as you know, who saw her at the Jug.
Oh, yeah.
As you did. But, boy, she was impressive. She just impressed the heck out of me.
She really was. And for people who are not avid aficionados of harness racing, let me explain what's going on here. We have these horses called standardbreds. You got your fillies and your colts, and they, you know, the colts do tend to race a little faster, but Party Girl Hill I think her best time was 147 and 2, and Tall Dark Strangers, best time was within 0.1 of 1 second of that. So, mm-hmm. you know, these horses are pacing, which is a controlled gait, a little faster than a trot, a little different, but it's not a full canter or a gallop. And they are pacing at a speed that is similar to what these thoroughbreds are running. I mean, these horses are becoming so, so fast. And the fact that we have a filly that can compete with the male horses is incredible.
Right. Absolutely critical.
Go girl power.
Right. We've seen it on the trotting side before, but very, very rare to see it on the pacing side. And I think Party Girl Hill, I think we'll see this coming year because she is continue racing. I think we're going to see how good she really can be, and it would not surprise me if she doesn't take on the free-for-all boys at some point and beat them.
All right, you and I are just babbling away. We got to get Michelle back in this conversation. What questions do you have?
Well, Keith, I wanted to ask you, you know, in general, being part of this industry, what is it about the industry that fans that maybe haven't found us yet need to know?
I started as a fan, and I think you find a lot of people start in the industry, either they're born into it or they start as fans. It's just the thing I like about it, and Kelly and I have had this conversation, Michelle. You know, I bought part of a couple of pacing fillies for this coming year. Hopefully, I'll be racing against Kelly a little bit this summer.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be a lot of fun. But the thing is, If I have $1 million or $10 million or $100 million, if I have $100 million, I can buy the Cleveland Indians, but I can't go play shortstop for the Cleveland Indians.
Yeah.
All right? I'm no Frankie Lindor. But I can buy a horse. I can train that horse myself. I can drive that horse and race it myself. And I can really be so much more involved on a day-to-day basis. And there's no other athletic endeavor, I don't think, that an amateur can compete at a professional level and do well. And I'm not saying that I compete at a professional level, far from it, but there's just something about that ability, the fact that I can go out and jog these horses myself and train these horses myself if I choose to. And I think that that makes it unlike any other sport in the world.
On top of that is fractional ownership, which, Kelly, how many horses do you have this year?
I believe I have 17 in my stable this year.
So people can actually be a horse owner of just 1%, but still reap the benefits of your horse racing and winning and going to the winner's circle.
That's right. I'm not a millionaire.
You have a nice night out of the track, of course.
Yeah, it's great fun. And, you know, I have to add to this, and I know I get on this soapbox all the time. This is what drew me into it. Years ago, I ran for office, and I really wanted to focus on promoting family farming in Ohio because it's such an important part of our economy, over a $2 billion industry. And these family farms are the heart of our culture here in the Midwest. And so many of these farms are involved in breeding, training, stabling, caring for, providing food and equipment for the harness racing industry. And when you go out to the track and you get involved and you get to know these folks, especially at Delaware, because you can go out on the backstretch, go to the barns and actually talk to these folks, you realize that families are the groups that are doing this work, that it's a generational thing and they all work together for the farm and for the horses and for the family business. And it's really touching in a very down home county fair kind of way. And I love that about harness racing. It's not glitz and glamour and celebrity. It's hardworking folks who are in the livestock industry.
All right, let's take a quick break, guys, and come back. And we got about 2 minutes when we come back.
It's mud season. Are you looking for a fix in a muddy situation? Cashman's has you covered, offering innovative mud control solutions. We are also your number one source for the best deals on rubber mats for multi-use flooring, perfect for horse stalls, garages, and gyms. Cashman's Horse Equipment has been serving the equine community for over 40 years. Come and visit our location in Delaware, Ohio, and shop over 10 acres of equine farm and livestock supplies. Shop online anytime at cashmans.com.
Be sure to catch the new podcast, The Top of the Stretch, presented by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. The podcast keeps fans of racing in the Buckeye State up to date on various topics concerning the sport of harness racing. The news and views of top officials, owners, trainers, drivers, and breeders in Ohio. That's the all-new podcast, Top of the Stretch, on the Facebook page of the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Be there!
Looking for that special gift for the horse lover in your life? Bow River Jewelry provides custom-made designs using state-of-the-art equipment, hand finishing, and quality stones to ensure your jewelry reflects that love of horses. Bow River Jewelry creates 14-karat gold rings, bracelets, and watches that uniquely exemplify the mutual love between horses and humans. Contact them at bowriverjewelry.com to see the variety of horse-inspired jewelry available or call 888-860-7483 with custom inquiries.
Welcome back to Horsin' Around. We are here with Keith Gisser. And Keith, you know, you have been around this industry for quite some time. What are you looking forward to in 2021? We had such an unusual year in 2020. Do you have favorite horses that you're looking forward to, or what?
Well, obviously, I have two favorite horses, and they're my two little fillies, Osceola Hanover and Cedar Point Beach. And I'm hoping that they're going to be my favorites this year, and I'm going to have a chance to see them race. Obviously, I want to see Party Girl Hill race. But the other thing, just to touch on your question from before the break, Michelle, you know, when you go to a major league ball game, to get autographs from the players, there's designated times and so on and so forth. The point that Kelly made about the fact that you can find the superstars of the sport on the backstretch, and not just superstars of our sport, superstars of other sports who have been involved in harness racing. I got a chance to meet Muhammad Ali many, many years ago because he was involved in sport. George Foreman was involved in sport. Sam Bowie, the basketball player. John Ferguson, the Hall of Fame hockey player. I got to hang out with him for a week. It just all of these sports celebrities and other celebrities who have been involved in the sport in one way or another, and they're all just there that you can meet and hang out with just like they're normal people, you know, not famous or not celebrities. And I think that's another great thing about this sport.
Well, unfortunately, I'm going to have to wrap this interview up, but Keith, thank you so much for joining us and filling us in on what the award ceremony was like and what you're looking forward to in 2021.
Nice. Thanks so much. It's great talking to you.
Take care, Keith. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And when we come back, we're going to hear about the USTA program, The Pathway, as well as Full Circle. Stay tuned.
Looking for your next quality standard bred racehorse? Look no further than Sugar Valley Farm in Delaware, Ohio. Sugar Valley Farm offers stud services anywhere in the world, providing the best stallions available at any price point. With a stallion roster full of names like Well Said, Lather Up, Mr. Wiggles, and Down by the Seaside, winning must be in the water. For more info, call 1-740-363-5618. That's 1-740-363-5618 for Sugar Valley Farm.
With more than 300,000 horses in Ohio, the economic impact of the equine industry in the state is over $1.4 billion. Much of that value comes from standardbred horse owners, breeders, trainers, and drivers who participate in the sport of harness racing. The mission of the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association is to preserve, protect, promote, and serve the entire standardbred industry in Ohio and beyond. To learn more about the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association, go to OHHA.com.
Welcome back to Horsin' Around. I'm Michelle Gatchel. We're going to switch from the OHHA to the USTA, the United States Trotting Association. And I am here with Jessica Schroeder. If you joined us last week, we also talked to her. I want to talk to her about two programs that the USTA runs. One is called The Pathway, and one is called Full Circle, and find out what those are all about. But first, Jessica, tell us what the USTA is for those that don't know.
So the United States Trotting Association is the breed registry for the standardbred horse and the record-keeping entity for harness racing. We were founded in 1939, and our first offices were actually in New York. But in the 40s, we moved to Columbus, Ohio, and we are currently in Westerville, Ohio.
One of the main things that you offer is called The Pathway. And this is literally kind of like 23andMe for a horse. You not only register its entire life and relatives, but also its entire racetrack history, no matter where it's racing in the world. Can you kind of give us an example of how the pathway works in tracking horses?
Any horse that is born for the purposes of racing, they have to be registered with us, and then only registered standardbreds with us can participate in harness racing. So then we are the central hub then for all of the racetracks as well. So when they create their race programs and put on races, we get all the entry information and all of the results information. So we are that central hub. So then if a horse races 1 week at Hoosier Park in Indiana and then comes over to Scioto Downs in Columbus, that horse's performance history from Hoosier travels with them. So then it's in that past performance program that's available at the racetracks. So you can see how the horse has done previously.
Oh, cool. And I wanted to ask, just because this was something I was curious about, do you register your horse like the year before because it's doing really good, looking healthy, or when it's born?
It's actually when they're born. So our fees, we do accept late registrations, but the majority of our horses are registered before December 31st of their foaling year.
Oh, okay. Wow. So you kind of have to get an idea really quick from it's past mommy and daddy, what you want to do with that horse.
Yeah. And it's, I would say it's only $150 to register them when they're that young.
Oh.
So, you know, it's cost effective to do it the earlier, and because once a horse turns a year old, like for something like the Little Brown Jug, they require yearling nomination payments. So if you register your foal before it turns that official year old on January 1st, the following year of when they're born, mm-hmm. That's when stake payments are due for those bigger type races like the Little Brown Jug.
Oh, okay. Wow. With the USTA or with racing in general, horses can switch from owners to owners, because at some races or racetracks, if you will, you can buy a horse that day, right?
Yeah, that's something called a claiming event. So basically when you enter your horse in a claiming event at a racetrack, let's just say a 20,000 claimer at Scioto Downs, the horse is, you can buy that horse for $20,000. You put your, I would say, quote unquote, your bid in at least 15 minutes prior to when the horse races. And then if multiple people put in a bid, it's drawn by lot by the racetrack judges, and whoever's name they pick out of the hat, that's who gets the horse when the horse is done racing. So we have horses that can change hands multiple times throughout the year, or, you know, even if it's not in a claiming race, they bought privately. There's horse sales throughout the year that horses can be bought from. So we keep track of all those ownership transfers. Not only do we keep track of all of that, but we also keep track of all their racing. And we have reciprocity with an organization like us called Standardbred Canada that's based in Ontario. And we do a daily data exchange, because we have horses that might race at the Meadowlands Racetrack in New Jersey this week in a stake race, and then at Woodbine Mohawk Park in Ontario, they might have another stake race in a week or two. So we do reciprocity with Standardbred Canada, and we keep all of those records. And all of those records are available online through our website, ustrotting.com, and it's called Pathway. And you do not have to be a USTA member to create a Pathway account. It's free for USTA members and non-members. So you just create an account, and then you can see the sample reports that we have, and it's a pay-per-use. So it might cost 75 cents for this report or a dollar for this report. So you can put in $10, and then every report that you view, it would deduct from that $10. And it seems to be that, especially a lot of people that adopt a horse that's retired from racing, they're very interested to know what type of racehorse they were. Did they earn any money on the track? Did they ever win a race? If they did win a race, how can I get a win photo? So accessing Pathway, you can get all that information. You know what racetrack they won at, what the date was, so then you would be able to call that racetrack and get the win photo to hang in your house.
Very cool. And so it's kind of like a family tree for a horse.
Yes. Anybody that does ancestry.com pathway in the USTA is that for standard breeds. You can go back. I mean, we have some of those pedigrees, you know, even before the USTA was founded, there was still a registry book called Wallace's. So, I mean, we have some pedigrees that go back to the early 1900s, late 1800s.
So what happens when someone brings a new horse in from another country to breed with a local horse, if you will? They didn't register that horse at the USTA when it was born. How does that come in the mix, if you will?
So we actually right now have a lot of horses that are coming over from Australia and New Zealand. So they are registered over there in those countries. And then we do what's called a foreign horse registration. And those horses are registered here for $350. And then we do the research either in whatever country that they raced in to get their racing information. It's not going to be as detailed as what we have if they were registered in the States, but we kind of do like a summary. So what racetrack, what date, where did they finish, and what was their mile rate time? Because in foreign countries, a lot of horses race at distances other than a mile, whereas 99% of races here in the US and Canada, they are at the mile. But we get all that information from Australia, New Zealand. There's only trotters in Europe, so we do have a lot of horses being imported or exported to those European countries, Sweden, France, Norway. So we just work with the, you know, what would be considered the USTA in that country to get their records so that then we have a more complete knowledge of what that horse did. So that then when that horse, that mare might have been coming from Sweden and is going to be bred here. And then when she has a baby and they register the foal, you know, and maybe sell it as a yearling at a sale. We want to have that pedigree page with as much information as we can have, you know, basically to market that horse to the buyers and say, you know, this is why they bred the horse, because it's got siblings that, you know, have earned all this money over in Europe or something like that.
And that pedigree and that athleticism is very important.
It is very important.
So if you're interested in finding out more information, you can go to pathway.ustrotting.com. Now, I want to turn now to another program that you guys offer called Full Circle. What is that?
Anybody, you know, you might have gone to the Little Brown Jug and said, you know, I saw this horse and it just really struck me and I want to know what happens to that horse when he's done racing. We have the program so that then you can fill out a form that's available on our website, or when you create your Pathway account, you can automatically add the horse through your account. And you say, it's basically saying, I am interested in helping this horse or knowing that this horse needs help at any time. So whether that's the current trainer or owner, you know, it's done racing and is looking for a home for it. They might see when they look the horse up that there's somebody that has enrolled that horse in Full Circle. So then they know to contact the USTA and say, I have this horse. I see that he's enrolled in Full Circle by somebody else. Can you give me their name and phone number? I'd like to talk to them to see if they would be interested in taking this horse. Sometimes, you know, a horse might end up in a bad situation. So we have been contacted by, you know, like humane societies or people that are at auctions finding horses, and they say, hey, I see this horse is enrolled in Full Circle. This horse needs assistance. Is there something that you can do? And we'll say, yeah, the horse is in Full Circle. These are the people that have been interested, have notified us that they are interested in knowing if this horse needs assistance. So that's what the Full Circle program is.
So if you're looking for a horse to add to your stable, maybe as a companion horse for another horse, check out the Pathway. You can register your name on horses that you fall in love with, and when they're ready to get rid of them, they'll contact you first. That concludes this episode of Horsing Around. We hope you enjoyed our conversations about the OHHA award ceremony and with the USTA about the Pathway and Full Circle. We'll see you again next week right here on Horsing Around.